Hey, weirdos, and welcome to another chilly episode of Weird Animal Facts.
Explicit.
And I'm re-recording this because I have fucked up on the first time, so hopefully this sounds good. But don't worry, the authenticness in the scientific names is still authentic because those parts actually sounded good. Plus, I can put music underneath it so it sounds... it works. It's not as crappy as the first take I did in this. Anyways, Weird Animal Facts Explicit is the show dedicated to the weird, odd, unusual, gross, and oftentimes disturbing facts about animals. I'm Deidre, and while I was walking through the zoo the other day, at which I work, I overheard a group of youths? Anyway, they're younger than me, standing in front of the African elephant habitat, vocalizing about, where are all the animals at? Alright, first, the elephants are like only the third animal you see when you walk into the zoo, so calm down. And second, they're asking about the African elephants. Africa! You know, in Africa, the low hardly ever gets below 65 degrees Fahrenheit, and it's the beginning of December, and the temperature at that current time when they asked that was only 40 degrees outside. That would make us horrible animal caretakers if we forced our animals to stand outside in the cold. Especially if they don't live in the cold. We love our animals too much for that. Anyways, the elephants got to be inside their nice warm barn, because we love them. But unlike the African elephants, the animals in today's show are cold weather tolerant. So I'd like to encourage you to bundle up, snuggle with your puppy, pour yourself a warm cup of hot cocoa, maybe drop in a few shots of Irish cream, take a long sip, sit down, relax, and get ready for some facts. Some weird animal facts. Ha-cha-cha, ha-cha-cha, this is not the theme song, cha-cha-cha. The snow monkey, proving that rebranding works. Technically the Japanese macaque, this once viewed as a terrifying monkey, has been humanized by the macaque's discovery of onsens. Onsen? Onsen. It's a hot spring. More on this later. But first, macaques! The word macaque sounds like what a parrot would say as a rectal thermometer goes in.
Ouch!
Or the name of an Italian mother's secret dessert dish.
Have some more of my macaque, honey. You're too skinny. How do you expect to get a husband without just a little bit of meat on those bones?
An actual macaque is a type of primate called a monkey. And if you ask your Catholic grandmother what a primate is, I mean, she might just tell you it's a chief bishop. And although the macaque system of hierarchy is similar to a chess game, a primate includes animals such as monkeys, lemurs, loris, pteris, apes, and humans. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, you too are a primate. We aren't going to talk about loris or tarsates today, as they are their own kind of weird and deserve their own episode. But lemurs are pretty obvious to tell that they're lemurs. And lemurs are not monkeys. They are lemurs. Just like how the Japanese macaque, or snow monkey, is not an ape. Not an ape. It's a monkey. What's the difference? Well, look at their ass, and you can actually identify it for yourself. If there's a tail, it's a monkey. No tail. It's an ape.
But wait a gosh darn minute there. Lemurs have tails, and you just said lemurs weren't monkeys.
Hey, that's right. You've been listening. I'm so proud of you. Yeah, lemurs have tails, and they aren't monkeys. And if you get confused by that tailed primate and need help figuring out what it is you're looking at, whether it's a monkey or a lemur, just ask yourself, am I in Madagascar? Because lemurs and humans are the only primates that live on Madagascar. And that's the only wild place lemurs can be found. And I pray to Donnie Yen's Monkey King that you know the difference between a human and a lemur. If not, then we've got a bigger issue on our hands.
Go back to school, kid!
The Japanese macaque monkey got its rebranding to the snow monkey after they literally put the phrase monkey see, monkey do into play. First, let's make clear that not all Japanese macaques should be called snow monkeys. And snow monkeys they're not even a new species. Like, it's the same thing. Like, there is no difference between the snow monkey and a Japanese macaque. In fact, they have the same exact scientific name. And you'll get to learn what that is once we do our scientific names are hard segment, which, yeah, that will be great. Or it was great, since I'm re-recording this part because I fucked it up. Ugh. I blame the fact that I cleaned my room, which probably means that, like, the sound had nowhere to be absorbed into. So that's what the clothes are for, absorbing the sound. Now my room's clean, so yeah. Anyways, what I really think it was like, I'm on this group. They're like, hey, how do I make my thing sound better? Oh, don't put your face so close to the mic. So I did that. And then it sounded like shit. This is where my face was. Does that sound good? Uh-uh. Sounds like shit, I think. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I'll look at it later.
Now back to a regularly scheduled program.
Anyways, what I was trying to say is that the snow monkey and the Japanese macaque are the same thing. The only difference snow monkeys have from the normal Japanese macaque is that snow monkeys can only be found in a very specific tiny region in Japan. So what makes this spot so special? Well, let's take a trip to Japan. Japan is made up of 4 islands, and only 3 of those have Japanese macaques. But only on one main island, in one small region called Kubu, near the city of Nagano, in a park called Jikakandani. By the way, I can say that word now because I'm re-recording this, and I had to say that word a bazillion times before, so now I think I'm gonna handle it. Anyways, it's kind of funny before. We'll see if I continue saying it correctly.
It's also called Hell's Valley.
Anyways, that's also where you can find the snow monkeys! Jigokudani. Alright, I'm not that great at saying it anymore. A little bit better than before, so you're welcome. Jigokudani is located in among the pine forest cliffs and mountains. And for those of you who remember geology, how are mountains created?
Tectonic plates!
And also, living down among those plates that are as shaky as your last relationship is something as heated as your ex-lover made you is hot, boiling, molten lava! And when magma heats underground rocks and then those rocks touch water, you get hot springs! This is called geothermal heat.
Geothermal heat.
I've learned that if you sing words that you can't remember, sometimes you remember it.
Geothermal heat.
Here in the States, we've got Yellowstone National Park, who have got geothermal heat radiating from every corner of the park. So much so that it has inspired the over-imagination of millions into thinking that it's overdue for a supervolcano eruption. But don't worry. According to the U.S. Geological Survey, you know, the people who know what the fuck they're talking about?
Just listen to me when I'm talking to you!
They say no. We don't really have to worry about any super volcano erupting. But then again, it's only a few more weeks left in 2020, and I'm not sure if the demons at play have finished with us yet.
Dun dun dun!
In Japan, these hot springs are called onsen.
Onsen?
Onsen. Onsen. In the winter, the snow monkeys don they now their gay apparel of white, gray, thick fur, which is thicker than their summer beach wear. In the colder months, the hair covering their entire body has as much volume as Chris Farley's does in Tommy Boy, but it's like 10 times more cuter and more maintained.
Holy shnikes!
Their naked pink to bright-ass red face appears to conceal all the knowledge of a monk who's sworn to silence, as well as suppress the rage of a plotting gremlin. Luckily for us, when wet, the snow monkeys don't go wild. Fun fact, the snow monkey also has a pink to bright-ass red ass. But in the wintertime, they keep their little tail tucked to help keep their little naked ass nice and warm. Back in the winters of 1960s Japan, people would often visit Jikokandani.
Ah, I think I said it. Yeah.
So to bathe in the warmth of the hot spring. One day, a brave Japanese macaque dared to test the waters after having seen countless humans sit in luxury. Once that macaque learned of the de-stressing powers of the onsen waters, the snow monkey was bored. From then on, That snow monkey introduced other monkeys to the onsen, and those monkeys would then show the new generation. Until today, in 2020, when those snow monkeys of today, Jack-a-quen-daddy, from every generation, warmed themselves in the benefits of cultural transmission. Fun fact! Another thing that was passed down with the snow monkeys through cultural transmission is making snowballs just for fun! Bonus fun fact! Because of the monkeys' lowered stress, they have time for fun! Just think if we were still living as hunters and gatherers. We'd be too stressed out on not starving to death and not being eaten that we wouldn't have any time for fun. So next time you're having a blast, say, hey, thanks evolution for minimizing my stress so that I have the opportunity to make snowballs. I should point out that Jigokudani is not the only onsen in Japan. There are lots. And back when the snow monkeys first started diving into the waters, people were also there. And they didn't really like the idea of bathing in the same waters as a wild monkey. I mean, who knows where those creatures have been? I mean, it can't be that sanitary. But the people of Japan had a solution. Hey, yo, come here. I got an idea. How about we make just one onsen just for the snow monkeys? Yeah, no people. Just the monkeys. Yeah, let's do it. Snow monkey pool. Yeah, snow monkey onsen. Yeah. They did this by leaving tasty, tasty food by the Jigokudani's hot spring until the snow monkeys were like, hey, why the fuck would I want to go all the way over there to the other onsen? They fit me right here. And this here is like the total type of spa I am looking for. Beautiful outdoor location, warm healing waters, and all the fucking food I can eat. Plus it'd be free. And all I would have to do in exchange was let a few people take some nude photos of me. I think that's a fair compromise.
Welcome to Playboy, honey.
Alright, and for those of you Karens out there thinking, why are they feeding the wildlife? The last time I went to Yellowstone, they yelled at me for trying to feed a bear, saying that feeding the bears would lead to aggression and I could die. There's actually a lot of reasons not to feed wildlife, such as that aggression point, especially if that bear is expecting food and then doesn't get food. I'd get mean too. Also, large gathering of animals such as birds near airports mean that you'll be sitting on that tarmac for the next 4 hours until those birds decide to migrate.
Thanks, Brad, for fucking feeding those stupid geese. Now we gotta sit here for another 4 hours. Ugh, why don't you listen to rules?
Also, attracting animals to heavily human-populated areas will increase roadkill, not to mention increase the chance of catching or giving a zoonotic disease. So, like, why are they feeding the monkeys if we're always told not to feed wildlife? Well, believe it or not, by feeding the snow monkeys at that specific hot spring, it is actually the best thing for both human and monkey. Jigokudani, ha! Fucking said it! Jigokudani's monkey park is in the middle of nowhere, meaning it's a long trek just to get there. So there really aren't a lot of people or traffic. And as mentioned, the people of Jigokudani, two in a row, the people of Jigokudani were very aware of how closely related we are to monkeys. I mean, if technology wasn't big, you know, 60s it was kind of big, and they look at this monkey and they're like, hey, that monkey kind of looks like me. And so that means if that monkey gets sick, I'm probably going to get sick. Compared to that, you know, that weird winged creature over there that is long-legged and da-da-da, doesn't look anything like me. I don't think I'll get sick from that. Alright, you can get sick from different animals. It's called zoonotic diseases. But there is proof that we are more likely to get sick from or get a primate sick because our DNA is more related to a primate than that weird crane over there. By the way, a zoonotic disease is something that can be transferred from a human to an animal or from an animal to a human. Zoonotic diseases. Oh, yeah. I mean, oh no. Oh no, zoonotic diseases! By feeding the snow monkeys at that one hot spring on a regular basis, not only reinforces them to continually come back, but it also prevents them from getting too close to people. The snow monkeys are wild, after all. Just because they get fed by people does not make them domesticated. Nor does the fact that they live in the perimeters of a park. Hey, you remember those bison you saw when you went to Yellowstone National Park? Well, you know what? The park rangers don't corral them into a stall at night. No. Yellowstone, just like Jigokudani, fuck yeah, is a living ecosystem where animals roam free. They can come and go as they please. They can even leave the park because they don't belong to anyone. No one owns them. They are not pets.
I belong to no one.
So for all those stories you hear about people at Yellowstone or any other nature preserve type place who try to pet a bison or take a selfie with it and end up gorged by the animal, is because that person was a dumbass and didn't follow the guidelines put in place to help keep both you and the animal safe. Basically, all I'm saying is don't be a fucking idiot. There are simple ways for humans and animals to coexist peacefully. And the first step is to not be an idiot. And the second step is to not be a dick. Meaning, learn to respect and appreciate wildlife in all their habitats. Over in Kenya, there are giant cats there, and they will walk right through a resort, like a people resort. And but you know what, the people there, they don't shoot or kill that cat because they understand that that kitty is probably just passing through. So they let it.
Here, kitty, 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 kitty.
No! And as humans start encroaching more and more and more and more and more and more into animal habitat, we need to find ways for us to coexist. And Jigokundani, as well as many other places around the world, have at least one solution. Eco-tourism! For all the souls brave enough to hop on a plane, a few trains, a bus, and then trek the 40 minutes through the freezing snow just to see these adorable spa-soaking macaques,
we'll still have to pay.
You poor unfortunate soul!
Just your voice!
No, not your voice. You don't have to pay your voice, or a leg, or your firstborn child. No, it's just money. You're paying money.
But that money goes directly into protecting the monkeys and Jukukandani's forest areas.
Just like when you go to Yellowstone, the money you fork over to go through that gate is what is helping to protect the animals that call Yellowstone home. And if you're planning on going out of the country or even in your own country and hope to see wildlife, please, please, I cannot stress this enough, please do your research. Because there is a very big difference between paying to take photos at a safe distance of the snow monkeys in Jigokundani versus paying some random dude for a chance to pet a drugged up tiger. Do your research and make sure your money is going to help protect the species that you love versus lowering their population and destroying their habitat. As humans, we've got power. So let's use that power for good.
Now, before we get started in Scientific Names Are Hard, I just want to remind you that most of this is the second take, because I fucked up with my audio to begin with, but the Scientific Names Is Hard segment is very important that it's authentic, and it's taken on the first take. So what you're about to hear is the shitty version of the recording from the first one. So, sorry it sounds so bad, but I hope you enjoy it!
Speaking of good, let's have a good old time when we go to...
Scientific Names Are Hard.
Alright, for those of you just joining us, Scientific Names Are Hard is brought to you by me and my roommate Emily, because I asked my roommate Emily to write down the scientific name of the animals in today's show so that I can attempt to read them for the very first time. Or at least read them out loud. And as you can tell from all my attempts of saying Jikukundani. Anyways, the park where the snow monkeys are found, this is going to be interesting. So, we have the snow monkey, who is a primate, and technically the Japanese macaque. Here's our piece of paper. Scientific name is Macaca.
I don't know why that's so funny.
Macaque. Focus. I don't want to edit too much. Okay. Macaca Fukapta. I'm not even drinking. I'm like 12 years old. Macaca Fuskakta. Macaca Fuskakta. Fukapta. Macaca Fuskakta. You're enjoying this as much as I am. Okay, let's stop. You don't need to listen to me laugh for 20 hours.
It's the transition song from going to one topic to the next.
It's the transition song, so that we have no awkward silence. The narwhal, the unicorn of the sea. Yes, unicorns do exist. From the rhinos of Asia to the narwhals of the Arctic, this mystic creature comes to life both on land and in the water, and air if you include the helmeted carasso. But of all the unicorn-like creatures of the world, I dare say that the narwhal looks to be the most made up. Like a giant fatty corpse-colored sausage on a skewer, the narwhal is in fact a true whimsical creature of the sea. Fun fact, the word narwhal translates from Old Norse to mean corpse-like. This is in reference to the whale's spotty black and white skin. Calling the Arctic home means that our Arctic fox friend from last episode could come to the shoreline and say, "Hello, Mr. Narwhal," or Mrs. Narwhal. However, I am sure that every single one of you are envisioning that iconic horn jutting out of the narwhal's face as it surfaced, and because only the males have that extreme horn, that now makes you all sexist pricks. Feminism! But let's take a step back from your toxic masculinity so that we can get weird. Imagine a unicorn. Like the actual mythical white horse with a horn, you know? Isn't it beautiful? Perhaps the sexiest of all mythical creatures. Now I want you to zoom into that horn. Look at it. What color is it? How is it shaped? Is it spiraled like those big rainbow lollipops you begged your parents for as a kid? Is there glitter? Does it sing to you? What does it feel like? Go on, touch it. Does it have magical powers? Does it excite you due to the somewhat phallic shape? Allow your mind to explore this thought for a moment. Is your dick getting hard? Now imagine if that unicorn horn in all its glory and magic was actually just a tooth. Yep, that's what the narwhal's horn is. Just a tooth. A tooth jutting out from its head. And if you were turned on by that horn, tooth, tusk, or either way you want to call it, some biologists believe that that could be one reason for the horn. It's like the ultimate dick pic. And I will say that if I noticed that I had a text message on my phone from a guy that I recently went on a date with and found it to be a picture of a 10-foot spiral ivory narwhal horn versus his disgusting fleshy dick, I'd definitely be giving him a second date. Tip for guys, and just the tip, no girl wants a surprise dick to appear on her phone. Let alone while she's sitting on a full airplane waiting to unboard. And I'm speaking from experience here. Also, I'm pretty sure the person sitting next to me saw that hairy, disgusting, not even fully erect penis on my screen. Thanks, random dude I met on Tinder? Anyways, the narwhal's horn may very well be for attracting mates. But there are other ideas out there, such as sound transmission, thermoregulation, a rudder, breathing organ, and even a spear for hunting and or battle. One horn, yet so many possibilities. Oh, and get this, that list can go on and on, and know what? It does go on and on and on. And as much as we don't know about the horn, there is one thing we do know for sure. It's a tooth. Which is appropriate considering that they are categorized as one of the toothed whales. But whereas our overrated dolphin has up to 100 teeth in their murderous mouth, the underrated narwhal has 0 teeth in its mouth. But the males can have 2 teeth sticking out of their face. The left one is that giant one you're thinking of. And females can also have tusks that are evident through their face, just like the males, just nowhere near as long. Normally, though, both the female tusk as well as the male's right tusk are not jutting out through the face. They're just kind of in the skull, hanging out. All right, so teeth. We have them, we brush them. Narwhals don't gotta brush their teeth. Or tooth, it's a tooth. And that tooth is more like an elephant tusk than our little teeth in our mouth. It's ivory. And the main difference between ivory and our teeth is that we have enamel, while ivory tusks and teeth
are mainly made up of dentin. So, no enamel there. Oh, and by the way, I know it's kind of late in the game to be bringing this up, but just in case you missed this back in science class, whales, like our narwhal friend, are mammals.
What?
Sure, they don't exactly have fur, but they are warm-blooded, they do give live birth, and produce milk for their babies, and they breathe oxygen. So they've got a little blowhole, and that blowhole is pretty much their nose, but it's on the top of their head. Weird. The narwhal is weird. Back to teeth. The narwhal's horn, tusk, tooth, whatever, does more than just add to the narwhal's style. Scientists have done some extensive studies, and you know what? I read that paper. And that paper had some very big, fancy teeth words that I had to look up and reread just so that you could be entertained. So I hope you're happy. Because even though scientific names are hard for me, I usually can recognize some part of the word, or at least visualize what it is I'm reading, given context clues. While in this dental-focused vocabulary paper, I had to look up over 5 different words, just in the abstract alone. And for those of you who don't read scientific papers, the abstract is like the cliff notes. So it should have been easy. You know, like when you're reading something and your mind like paints a picture of what you're reading? My mind couldn't even do that. But now since I'll be smart from having looked up all those words, I can tell you what that paper was all about. And quite honestly, it was a lot of work to simply understand the research that these dedicated scientists did, or to tell you that the narwhal's horn is suspected to be able to detect salinity, temperature, and water pressure. You're welcome. Oh, you're lucky I like narwhals, otherwise I would not have put in the effort. If this was about pandas or dolphins or even worse, a fucking pigeon, I wouldn't even have bothered. So like I said, you're welcome. Now, what makes me a bit more bitter about all the work I did just to understand and be able to read a few teeth-related words is the fact that despite not having that long tusks, female narwhals tend to live longer than males, leading me to think that that tusk gives no further benefit to the male narwhal's survival except for perhaps maybe mate selection. So I guess, at least in the narwhal's world, size really doesn't matter.
Yes, it does!
Because who knows what the girl really wants? Some even think the tusk is used for a bit of foreplay.
Oh yeah, give it to me, baby!
Poke poke here, poke poke there. Run that creepy spiral ivory wand down her back. I mean, I don't know how a narwhal's sex life is. Again, here's your reminder that the scientific names are hard is from the first take. So if it sounds shittier, that's why. But the content, I believe, is still somewhat golden? Maybe silvery. Enjoy! Speaking of sexy, let's go over to sexy scientific names.
Scientific names are hard.
Here is take 2 of scientific names are hard. We'll take 1 on this one, but the second animal for the show. So, opening the sheet paper for the narwhal scientific name. Monodon, Monocero. Monodon, Monocero. You know, that wasn't that hard or that funny, and it might be because I worked so hard at all those teeth words in the narwhal paper, and also I probably warmed myself up by reading all those, that park, the monkey park from earlier. Jikasa. Nope, not even gonna try because I can't read it right now. It's higher up on the script. I think that was pretty dang good. Oh, and if you haven't gotten your full fill of narwhal, then I would like to encourage you to look up the song by the Irish Rovers called Narwhal, the Continuing Story of the Unicorn. It's just a fantastic song, and it's all about narwhals. And I really hope you enjoyed this because this episode was actually really hard for me to make from having to read and figure out all those fancy dentist words and teeth words in that scientific paper, to having to find certain like pictures to help boost Instagram and have people look at shit because, you know, I want more people to listen, so I gotta put work in, and also to re-record this because I fucked up the first time. But the scientific names, if those parts sounded like shit, well, that's okay because scientific names are hard. And so is podcasting, apparently. But I really, 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 really want to thank you guys, like, so much for sticking around and listening. And if you could, please rate and review the show. Hopefully a good rating and a good review. I really like those. And I'll try to read all of them. I do my best to read them all. There aren't that many right now, but hopefully we'll have more because for the 2 months that I've been doing this of just talking to myself and the dogs in my bedroom and then sharing that conversation with the world, we have reached over 500 listeners, which for being a solo operation of me just in my bedroom with the dogs, I think that's actually pretty awesome and pretty good. And you know what? None of this would be possible without you wonderful weirdos out there listening. So thank you to all the weirdos who have been around since the beginning and those new ones who are checking us out and figuring out that you're just as weird as the rest of us. And if you want to know more, if you want to see all the stuff I keep talking about in this show, follow our Instagram at WAF Podcast. And again, thank you guys. I really enjoy doing this and I really, really hope you guys enjoy listening. So I guess that's all for today. Stay weird. Also, I hope this sounded much better than the first take.